League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the podcast on Wednesday, the 30th of October, 2019. On the podcast today, I have Osa Okamina, who's the CEO of ADM Energy. That's ADME. That's a quoted natural resource investment company, and Osa discusses their strategy and plans going forward. Also on the podcast, Nicola Duke, technical analyst, charts i3 Energy, Europa Metals, and Bitcoin. And as always, I have the top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours, and the top five most liked RNSs. By the way, if you receive an RNS via our app, the app is free to download in the App Store, and you like the contents of that, don't forget, hit that thumbs up button, and the RNS could feature on this podcast and the front page at foxmarkets.co.uk.
Vox Markets is an online community of investors that runs a free mobile and desktop platform that allows you to track news and updates about any UK-listed company, offering RNS push notifications, detailed charts, pricing data, and much more. Find out more at voxmarkets.co.uk/app.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Osa Okamina, CEO of ADM Energy. That's ADME ticker. Osa, thanks for joining me.
Thank you. Good morning.
Now, before we get stuck in and ask some questions about operations and what's happening in your assets and what's going on there, first of all, for people not familiar with ADM Energy, could you give a brief summary as to what you're all about, please?
Okay, ADM Energy is a small investment company focused primarily on the oil and gas sector. Mm-hmm. For now, our focus is on West Africa, although we're increasingly seeing transactions in North Africa and parts of Southern West Africa.
Marvellous stuff. Now, you recently came on board as a CEO. Can you tell us a bit about your background and experience in this sector, please, Osa?
Okay, I've been in the oil sector for roughly 16 years. I started my career in the oil service sector, introducing technologies, offshore technologies from Norway into the Nigerian market. And then soon after that, I formed a company with some Norwegian investors, and we started to do upstream deals. So I've been doing, you know, deals all across Africa for the last 15 years, from, you know, Mauritania to Libya to Egypt to Equatorial Guinea, and a lot of transactions in Nigeria. So I'm more or less an originator, deal maker. That's my focus. Although I've been a CEO of an oil company before, I've done business development. Yeah.
Okay,
so I'm quite adept and, well, if I may say so, knowledgeable about the sector.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, and what, you know, motivated you to join ADM Energy?
I've always wanted to work in a public, run a public company. You know, most of my career has been in the private sector, and ADM Energy was a company that was, you know, drifting, and the shareholders who I knew invited me to join the board, and I thought it'd be a good opportunity to take a small company into the big league.
Yeah, okay. And tell me then, tell me your strategy for the company.
It's pretty simple. You know, there are three types of categories of assets we're looking at. There are the so-called, we don't do exploration because it's too expensive and too risky. So we're looking at appraisal assets, which are assets that have oil and gas discoveries but haven't been developed. Those are our primary assets in terms of getting a bang for your buck, because you can buy appraisal barrel of oil for $1, and once you've done the appraisal and put it into development, that dollar becomes $5, $6, $7. So in terms of your absolute return on capital, those are the best deals. Then the second categories of deals are development deals, where all the appraisal work is being done. And typically, because we're good at originating, we find development opportunities and we're bringing oil company partners to participate with us. And the third category are producing assets, which ironically even if they're a larger ticket item, they're quite easy to finance. So our relationships with the investment banks in Africa and our close ties with big trading companies means that we can easily buy, you know, even up to $500 million development producing assets. And most of it, almost 90%, could be done by debt and pre-offtake financing. And the equity portions are pretty low. So in terms of the better returns on your investment, the appraisal assets are best. In terms of the assets that you can develop with partner, development assets are good. But in terms of the big deals where you can get cash flow pretty quickly, the producing assets, which ironically, as I said before, are the easiest to finance.
Understood. And can you tell us a bit about the OML 113 asset in which you hold 5% interest? And what will PetroNor's acquisition of the interest in OML 113 bring to the project, please?
Okay. Now, the OML 113 asset is a very developed asset. You know, it has 5 wells, it has discovered oil and gas, it has pretty clearly delineated reservoirs, so there's no geological risk in the asset. You know, it's producing about 3,500 barrels a day and pretty stable. So it's a good asset, we have good reserves, and it's just at the next stage to expand production and bring in the gas. Now, PetroNor was a very good introduction to the team because we really had not had any focused technical leadership in the asset in recent years. And PetroNor brings in a wealth of, you know, offshore experience from Scandinavia, from Norway, and a pretty well advanced and well-developed management team. So PetroNor has reignited interest in the asset. They're consolidating their Panoro purchase with a joint venture with an existing operator. So we're going to see a situation where PetroNor and its team would own almost 50% of the economics in the project, which makes it easier to finance. So one of the problems we've had in Niger for a while, there have been too many partners. Yeah. So it's a very good development for us. It tells the market that there's a team that's ready to take the next step in bringing up and increasing the oil production and developing the gas. So all in all, we're very excited about it.
Yeah, I understand. And you've recently strengthened the board with 2 additions. You've got Peter Francis here as non-exec chairman and Emmanuel Lamboli as non-exec director. So what will they bring to the company, Osa?
Yeah, like I said, the company was lacking specific executive talent. So for instance, now Peter Francis is a 30-year oil man from Big Oil, ExxonMobil, Chevron, and also played a leading role in financing major capital projects in Nigeria. So Peter brings the kind of maturity to the board and big oil company experience that would allow us to access larger pools of finance and also do material transactions with the IOCs, which he knows very well. Manuel, on the other hand, is a career banker, financier, and that's another talent we need. He's very hands-on and has a pretty significant network of investment HNI people that are following. So we've got big oil and financing, which would augment my own talents.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, you say the company's on track to become cash flow positive in 2020. So what do you see as the next steps in ADM's progression there, sir?
I mean, essentially, the next step is the ones we're trying to develop with PetroNor. PetroNor have a program to triple production and bring in the liquids. So that's the next step. It's a project that I can't disclose much of, but we'll be talking about in the coming months. And that should see us in about 12 months tripling our production from 3,000 to 10,000 and bringing on board more liquids, LPG, and condensate. So we think that in 12 to 18 months, we'll see a significant review of our production.
Marvellous stuff. Also good to chat to you. And they say lots going on in the not-too-distant future, so hopefully we'll catch up then. Thanks very much.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me right now is the queen of crypto. It's Nicola Duke. You're right, Nick.
Very good. Thanks, Justin.
Now, yeah, we're going to look at Bitcoin. I want to do that on a regular basis. Do you know what? Because I've now sort of bought some Bitcoin and I receive newsletters every day, I just find crypto, the currencies, are slowly creeping into mainstream all the time. And it's a gradual creep. Not many people outside would, I think, notice it unless you read a lot about it. But sooner or later, it'll become a tipping point where pretty much everything is touched by crypto. Because you can see, even today, I was looking at there's a crypto called DAI. Is it DAI or DAI? But,
yeah.
Yeah, stablecoin. But that's now been accepted. Basically, there's been some kind of agreement with Visa, and it's a stablecoin. So that will be, you'll be able to pay for that if you have a Visa. And I think, wow, that's phenomenal. And so when you look at this, all these links, and obviously the main dog is Bitcoin. And even
you know, competing like Visa is going to be the golden, like that's the holy grail, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, because the whole thing with all of the payment systems, crypto, blockchain ones that we've had up till now, none of them are quite fast enough. Yeah. You know, so when I look at coins that I'm interested in, I'm always looking at the infrastructure ones, the ones that can make it go faster, because just the volume of transactions that Visa have are so massive. You know, that's always been the holdback, but yeah, it's exciting.
When
you look at Mark Zuckerberg and the hearings in Congress, you know, about the coin and how he wants to have a payment system for Facebook and how hard he's fighting for it, like, you've got to believe when you see that, I think.
Yeah, well, everyone is. Even China. When you realise that China is going to go towards crypto, I mean, it's good for, you know, it's a rising tide. And like I said, as the main dog, Bitcoin, of course, that is, it's almost a gateway crypto, isn't it? You know, everyone goes through Bitcoin. That will be transacted more. People will exchange for Bitcoin a lot to get these other cryptocurrencies, and so it's like the US dollar of, you know, of cryptocurrencies, really. So it'll work. But I mean, have you heard about the Lightning Network? I mean, you know, Bitcoin.
I have, and that's really important for Bitcoin, yeah. You know, to make it, as we said, go faster.
But I think Visa has about 45,000 transactions per second. Bitcoin at the moment, as it is, only about 7, isn't it? But with the Lightning Network, which is built on the Bitcoin database and blockchain, they can make millions.
It's like a layer above it.
So they can make millions of transactions. That'll solve it. It's evolving. Like I say, it's a new tech. And I just think the more you read about it, just I would advise people, if they're skeptical, just set up a Google alert, just put Bitcoin, and just read some daily news on it, and you'll see, you know, big companies. Even did you see that Starbucks this week backed and now going to transact with Starbucks? They're going to set up an app backed as in Starbucks, and you're going to be able to pay via Bitcoin in 20,000 Starbucks shops, which is, you know...
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, but I mean, that would be...
That adoption is really what it all needs.
Millennials and that like coffee and stuff, so it's very clever, and so you'd just be able to do that, but it's just this creeping, you know, sort of...
Some of us oldies like coffee too.
Yeah. No, I like coffee.
I just don't always buy it that often in Starbucks,
No,
I am a big fan.
Yeah, so I just think it's just generally, you know, getting more influence. It's inwardly creeping towards all our sort of, you know, platforms, the way we use stuff. It's interacting with it very well. And it's not this or that, you know. It can interact with it and help it in some way. Like I said, Visa and this other stablecoin now is interacting, so it works together. So, yeah, I just see so many benefits to it. Okay, let's look at some stocks first. So we had some good news out yesterday on i3 Energy and Europa Metals. What do you want to go with first? It was chart.
Let's look at i3 Energy.
Yeah, okay. So they announced their Serenity Field, which is very good. And it pumped up on our chart here. Let's have a look at our daily chart. What's your thoughts, Nick?
Well, you know, we had a really nice rally and a gap higher on the news. The RSI got very quickly overbought, you know, up at 80, highest it's been for, you know, at least a year. And we got above and had a look above the 200 moving average. Unfortunately, we closed back underneath it. And we closed back underneath it, a kind of key reversal level for me is right at that 200-day moving average at 42.8. We really do need to close above 42.8 for i3 Energy to have a significant move higher. So now we're looking at a pullback and see, are we going to come all the way back, fill the gap down to 27, 28? I don't think so. I think there's pretty good support at around 35. I'd like to see us bottom out there and maybe, you know, make a bit of an inverted head and shoulders pattern in i3 Energy. So I'm just looking at that shelf of support. If you look left to the lows in the end of 2018, early 2019, that's the support level that I'm looking at to hold in i3 Energy. So we're at 38 at the moment. I think the support's around 35.8 or to 35.
Marvellous stuff. Okay, and also yesterday we had... Europa Metals come out with an upgraded resource, and that's moving forward, the project moving along. What's your thoughts on the price? The price went up in the morning, then it came down in the afternoon, which is odd. What's your thoughts?
Yeah, it's in this little channel. So if we look at what we've done since the 8th of October, we had quite a strong rally, and now we've had a couple of legs of correction to kind of pull back and test what I think it's looking like a bit bull flaggy. I think that back at the lows is good support here around 0.03, and I'm certainly looking for another leg higher in this one. The key for me, the sign that it's going to go higher, just like i3 Energy, the level that we're looking for is a close above 0.044. If we see a close above 0.044, then we should see a really decent move in this one. And I'm just going to get my little measuring thing out here. And I'm looking for, I'm looking for 0.0718. So if we get above 0.044, the trade is to 0.0718 next.
Lovely stuff. All right. And now, you know, I've got to say, I am obsessed with the Bitcoin chart. I just keep looking at it all the time. I mean, we had that drop-off, and we had a big rally, didn't we? And now it's consolidating a bit. What's your thoughts from here? Higher or lower?
Well, it's freaky, isn't it? Because after we looked at it last Friday, it took off in the afternoon, literally took off. So now what we're seeing is very choppy, overlapping pullback. That suggests a bit of a short squeeze. A lot of people were wrong, and a lot of people have FOMO and want to get in Bitcoin. So it's struggling, you know, to pull back. Normally you'd say, oh, yeah, let's look for a nice, you know, 50% correction around 8,500. We'll all buy that. Well, I think the whole world's waiting to buy it there, so we might not come back. The level that I'm looking for is a retest of 89.50, and we're pretty close to it. And then I think that we could just bottom there and go back up again, and up we go again.
Yeah, yeah. Well, do you know what? I genuinely see as the background, you know, the longer term adoption of all cryptos, and you've got this halving coming up now, you know, on the 14th of November, it'll be exactly 6 months until the halving.
Yeah, 6 months to the halving.
Yeah, and that's always been a very bullish. I did a video on it, and I just looked at the prices going back for the last two halvings, and essentially, if you'd bought 6 months before and held for a year afterwards, 18 months, you've done very well indeed. That's, in fact, ridiculous amount of percentage return. And, of course, it's supply and demand, isn't it? Demand goes up, the hash rate is going up, you know, there's more people mining it and trying to get into it,
right.
And yet the supply is going down. So in my mind, it's going to go higher again. This halving is a massive milestone, isn't it?
It is. I think that we learnt a little bit of a lesson with the Litecoin halving at the end of last year, you know, where a lot of people took profit at the halving mark. So we could definitely see that, you know, when it happens, watch out for some profit taking. But no, it is very bullish.
So where's Litecoin now, though? So did a halving, when did it halve?
The problem is Litecoin has other issues in that the developers have kind of basically stopped working on it. And so Litecoin isn't too happy. And so, you know, whereas you would normally have expected it to see, you know, continuation after the halving, we haven't really seen that with Litecoin, unfortunately.
Yeah, yeah. And as I said, you know, Bitcoin's a different animal, isn't it? I mean, you realise that 68% of all cryptos is traded
it's
is Bitcoin.
Big daddy.
It's like, you know, it's the main thing. Like I said, it's the US dollar of cryptos, pretty much. You know, so it's the one that everyone goes through. So it's a different... And I genuinely see now it is a store of value. And I think people are hodling, you know, because they honestly see this being a lot higher. It's like gold, back having some gold back in the 70s and realising... And seeing a bit of the future.
Hooray!
You know? I think it's hard to compare the halving, but I just see that as a massive bullish milestone coming up. I can't see it selling off, you know, coming up to it. And oddly, the best returns have been, you know, the last twice has happened, a year up to a year afterwards. So it's almost it really kicked in about 2 or 3 months afterwards. The rise kicked in 2 or 3 months after the halving. I don't know why that is. Then it just went bonkers by 2 or 3 months afterwards, which is a good sign. So, marvellous. And do you trade around Bitcoin or just hold or what? What's the score?
I trade around a bit, but I tend to be a bit of a bigger swinger. So, like, I'm not in and out every day. You know, weekly, you know, every couple of weeks in and out. You know, that's how I tend to swing.
That's how you roll. So there we are. We'll end on that, Nick. I think Nick is a bit of a swinger. She's not in and out every day, but she likes to swing it around once a week, twice a week. Lovely. Thanks, Nick.
Okay. Bye.
Speak to you next week. Bye-bye.
Okay. Okay, bye.
Okay, it's time for the top five most followed companies on Vox Market in the last 24 hours. They are at five, Block Energy, BLOE, up 4%, 7.8 pence. At four, it's Origo Partners, up 22.5% at 0.19. That's the ticker there is OPP, by the way, and that's up to 0.19 pence. At three, it's i3 Energy. Look at the chart of that. It's pulled back a little bit on that announcement yesterday, but up, down 7.7% at 37.75 pence. At two, Zoetic International, or Zoe, at down 2.51% at 9.7 pence. And number one, most followed company again, it's Eurasia Mining, up 18.64% to 3.5 pence. I've got to say, be careful. One of the things I always advise is never chase a spike. If you've done research on a company, you'll like it, just have some patience. You know, this has risen, it's been a 4-5 bagger already. And so, people buying here now, if it pulls back, I was looking at the chart earlier, and the RSI is at 98.99. Can't get a lot higher than that. 100 is the tops, maximum. So the relative strength is massive, but it's, over 70 is regarded as overbought. So it's like 28 over that. So it'll have to calm down sooner or later. You know, it could rise again a little bit more in the short term, but it has to calm down. So do some research in the meantime. Okay, top five most liked RNSs are as follows. At five, Sound Energy, Tendrara Gas Sales Agreement, signature of MOU. At four, Director Share Purchases, Vast Resources. At three, Argo Blockchain, mining capacity to increase by 240%. At two, Bidstack, appointment of Brian Nieder to advisory committee. And number one is SafeStay, completion of acquisition. It's really frustrating, SafeStay. They're growing, they're generating cash, they have cash, they've got an excellent board, track record with skin in the game, and they're valued below net assets. But the share price isn't reacting to good news, which, sooner or later, as I think Warren Buffett said, in the short term, stock market, it is a voting machine. You know, what's popular, what's not. The long term, it's a weighing machine. And that means, the assets will prove themselves, the fundamentals of the business will play out. And I genuinely see the way it's 17 hostels now. You're talking about, average, around about £1 million top line per hostel. And so they've got cash as well. So it's not valued at all. So sooner or later, it'll move. Once it does move, you'll see momentum move with it. People start buying in and it'll go crazy. That's it for the podcast. Thanks for listening. Muchos apreciados.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.